show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
The weather's getting nasty out there. Is there a tornado shelter in this place?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the network show for April 11, 2011. This is a companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, and social network comments. So if you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece to this. You might want to go back and have a listen, a show or three, and catch up on what the heck we're talking about, because people are going to be calling in and writing in about that stuff. And we'll throw in a little bit of our own, too. The comment about the severe weather wasn't offhand. There is a severe thunderstorm rolling through, and I think you just missed the tornado sirens. But if they're on again, I've got a microphone open for that. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm scared. I keep hearing those sirens, and it makes me want to run.
I feel like it's World War II in an air raid. Here, let me give the listener a little feel of what the recording is. This is the background music of the storm outside.
Music?
And there, I've muted it. Okay? So,
okay.
I'm just going to leave that on. If the sirens go off again, you'll know what's going on. If the if there's lightning
you
and thunder...
You muted the weather.
There was
That's
better,
awesome.
Yeah. There was better thunder going off before, and I recorded a little bit of it because it sounded like a neat thunderstorm.
Well, your storm sounds a lot like what happened in South Carolina last night, because I was at the beach, but up here in Rock Hill, they had marble-sized hail, and there was warnings and all this kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, I want to mention this. I told you about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember his last name. But Jared, a guy I met down in at Great South, we were at a bar, and we're talking, and turns out he's a big weather nerd. And I was like, yeah, I heard about you. And he gets on Ustream when there's bad weather and shows weather maps and all kinds of stuff. It's actually, you know, quite interesting. Well, we're watching the TV, and there it says, terrible weather going across South Carolina. You know, there's thunderstorm warnings. He goes, should I get my laptop? I was like, yeah, go get it. So he runs out of the car, comes back with his MacBook, and he fires it up. And he subscribes to this weather data personally. Actually, I think it's two different sets of data. From NOAA and something else. I'm sorry it all escapes me, but he can tell you more about it. And he will soon. But yeah, he was showing me 3D renderings of cloud areas where there was possible tornadoes. You can see, he was explaining the air turbulence and how it can turn into a tornado, and you could kind of see what he was talking about. And he was showing me lightning strikes as they happen, hail, you know, areas. He's showing me that, one of his friends from one of those areas tweets him a picture of hail.
I saw an image from your area, actually, like a little video clip that somebody sent into the weather channel, and it was just hailing to beat the band. It was hitting this lake, and it just looked like the lake was nothing but popcorn. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, it looked like it's boiling or something.
Yeah.
So luckily our cars didn't suffer any damage, but they were worried about it.
This is spring in the northern hemisphere, so we're likely to get some storms like this as warm air masses and cold air masses collide. It's just
April's a transition month for here.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure it is there too. Yeah.
Hey, enough about the weather. Boy, that almost sounds cliche, right? So, how's the weather there?
Yeah. It's fine, Chuck. I like
Let's step back
springs,
a few weeks when we were talking about time zones, and Will the Computer Guy lets us know.
And now, another message from Will the Computer Guy.
Hey, Chuck and Greg.
That makes me smile.
Guy. Hey, I was listening to episode 300, and I have a daylight savings time story. I'm transitioned to a night shift that weekend, and I went over to a friend's donut shop at about 1:45 and hung out with him for a few minutes, and then he goes, hey, it's 3 o'clock. And I look over at the clock. No, it's 2 o'clock. He goes, no, it's daylight savings time. It's 3 o'clock. If you've ever actually lost the hour and watched it happen, that is the strangest thing you could ever experience. Catch you guys later. Bye.
He's time traveling.
It's two, three. No, wait. I feel so young or old.
I thought he was going to say something like, whoa, I'm late now.
That's, I remember being in my many, many younger years, youth, being at bars in the fall and spring when that would happen. And I don't remember if they'd let us stay an hour later, booted us out an hour early. I'm sure they worked it to their advantage so they could get more money.
I think I remember, here, I know, at least from my experience working in a bar, we had to have everybody out of the bar and no more drinks or anything at 2 o'clock on Saturday night.
Okay.
Well, I remember having, the time would change and, depending on whose favor it was in, we had to still get people out at the 2 o'clock hour.
Well, if it's 2 o'clock and then you switch your clocks back in the fall, don't you get another hour?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they were happy about.
Okay. But yeah, they would run it until 2 o'clock in the spring and then say, okay, everybody out anyway.
Yeah.
And good luck with recuperating from your hangover an hour earlier.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you got to get up earlier too.
We have another one from Mark in Memphis about famous quotes. Remember I was saying if you want to make something more important, you always say, started out with like Benjamin Franklin once said,
That's right.
You'll never need more than 640K of memory.
Yes.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. You're talking about quotes. The favorite one that I've seen lately is, the problem with quotes on the internet is you can never be sure whether or not they're real. Abraham Lincoln.
This is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
The number you have reached has been changed.
That's funny.
He's trustworthy. Number. I think we could trust Abraham Lincoln for that, right?
Yeah, sure. I didn't know him, but sure.
I was thinking about those Geico commercials. Can calling Geico really save you 15% or more on your car insurance? And then they do something that's obvious. I was thinking about doing the reverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can listening to Technorama really save you 15% or more on your car insurance? Do pigs fly? And you got...
I like the Geico ones for the radio. And the guy's like, does a mine make more sense when... whatever. And he goes, you got to trust me on this one. Whatever it was, you didn't make any sound,
Right. Nothing's more funny than a mime on the radio.
Yeah, he said, you're going to have to trust me on this one.
We have some email also.
Okay.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mail, 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 mail today.
Reach right in. Oh,
letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got.
And called it the background typewriter for that song?
I don't know. I do like making the pretend pushing the button on my desk on the doorbell.
Ding dong. This comes from Mark the Encaffeinated One, one of our longtime listeners and good friends out there in the podosphere, about life before computers. Yes. I had heard this a long, long time ago. I'm surprised we never even got this, but it showed up on the internet again this week, so he forwarded it to us.
It showed up on our internet doorstep.
That's right. We scour the internet, hundreds of sites, thousands of articles for your entertainment, and this is the best we can do.
I thought you were going to say, we scour the internet, and it's still not clean.
Well, that goes without saying anyway.
That's another story.
This is one of those, when I was a kid. The terminology has changed when we say things like megabytes and whatnot. It's all technology related. Well, back then, an application was for employment. A program was a TV show. A cursor used profanity. A keyboard was a piano. Memory was something you lost with age, and a CD was a bank account. And if you had a 3.5-inch floppy, you hoped nobody found out. Compress was something you did to garbage, not something you did to a file. And if you unzipped anything in public, you'd be in jail for a while. Log on was adding wood to a fire. A hard drive was a long trip on a road. A mouse pad was where a mouse lived, and a backup happened to your commode. I'll get back to that in a sec.
Yeah.
Cut you did with a pocket knife. Paste you did with glue. A web was a spider's home, and virus was the flu. I guess I'll stick to my pad and paper and the memory in my head. I hear nobody's been killed in a computer crash, but when it happens, they wish they were dead.
Ain't that the truth?
That little smirk about the backup. Well, I happened to be staying at the W in Chicago last week, and on the of the toilet, they have this spare roll of toilet paper in this nice, like, drawstring canvas bag. But it has, like, a clear vinyl window on it, so you can see there's actually toilet paper in there, I guess. And when you look through this clear vinyl window, there's a label, a piece of paper in there that says, backup plan. So Veronica Belmont posted something to Twitter on Saturday, which said something about a backup plan. And I said, when you put the hashtag backup plan, I couldn't resist to include this picture of the toilet paper roll. And she thought that was funny.
Wait a minute. You did take the picture after you've been in the bathroom, right? You weren't currently using when you took the picture, right?
No, right? I ain't telling which way, which order it went in.
All you had to do was say no. Now we know. Sorry.
So I have those. I will post one to Facebook in the next couple of days. It was right before? Yeah, right before I posted those, or took the pictures of the Sears Tower, or the Willis Tower. Sorry, I'm an old school, so it's not the Willis Tower to me. It's still, and always will be, the Sears Tower in Chicago, going up off into the sky in the clouds.
Hey, did you go out in that little walkway? Not walkway, but a little pushed out window they have
in the Sears Tower?
Yeah.
You mean the sky deck way up on the 109th floor, 104th floor?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not pushed out.
Yeah. No, it's the, they have, well, there's a, you know, at the Grand Canyon, they have that.
Yeah, that horseshoe thing. Yeah.
Sticking out. Well, they have something similar on that in the Sears Tower now.
Well, if it was up there, I couldn't see it. I thought,
you're supposed to go,
you know,
to it.
It's a cloudy day. I don't think there's anything worth seeing up there. And it was during a lunch hour that was running short anyway.
Okay, whatever.
So, yeah. I wasn't there for tourism,
cool,
dude. I was there to work.
Well, you mentioned it.
Okay. Well, next time I'll take a look.
Yeah, it's actually like, I thought it was like one, almost like one window, or it's a small area that's pushed out. So you can stand out there and see, you know, below you, just like you
were. No, they have one window that's knocked out, and they push you out. Maybe that's what you misunderstood.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is cool, and the bottom comes out.
Donna and I always notice when you're off on a, like, one of those nature hikes, and they have a place where you can get a good view of a nice vista. They call it a scenic lookout. We understand why, because usually right before the edge of the cliff, there's a tree root sticking up. So as you get closer, you trip and go, look out!
Right.
We have another email from Michelle, a la Country Signs, or AKA Country Signs, about Square Up. And we asked, what do you do with all the squares? Because you get 100 of them. Like, really? She says, really? You're just supposed to give them away to anyone that might need them. They don't pay for any, they don't pay you for signing anyone up. It's more of just a grassroots to spread the word type of thing. Where was I? I've given them out to a bunch of crafty customers so they can use them to sell their stuff. I always carry a few in my purse. I even help sign up a local bagel shop and a little bar down the street. Just a side note about my shop. I don't know if I ever told you. I'm a third generation of my family's shop. Cook's Arts and Crafts was started by my grandmother in 1970. It's at cookscrafts.com. So, if there is ever any crafty type question you have, just let me know. And you know what? She posts a lot of cool stuff and shares it on Google Reader.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, where we got that Bender toque? And there's one coming up in the regular show dealing with the Weeping Angels. That's kind of cool, too.
I was kind of hoping she was going to make me a, you know, that Bender hat thing.
And we also have...
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely want to make sure she gets a little plug because she's been a loyal listener for a long time.
Okay, we have our first, the first one we've ever reported on, first postcard from a listener. Someone's gone old school. This came from Greece. This is from our good buddy, Yorga.
Yeah. And I've actually gotten one or two from him before.
He writes, "Greetings from Greece. Sent via pop." Well, the physical implementation.
Pop, yeah, the physical pop.
I thought it was SMTP, the simple mail transfer protocol.
I'm sorry, can you describe that that RFC, please?
And it's kind of cool because it's the stamps are in Greek, and I can't read my Greek letters very well. The it costs apparently 75, not euros, 0.75. What are euro pence? Are they, what are fractions of a euro called?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Because 75 euros is $108.
No, it's not. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, but it's not $108 to send a postcard. Because one of them says 0.03 euros and the other is 0.72 euros. Cool looking stamps, if anybody's a philatelist, whatever.
0.75 euros is $1. Or
so it costs a buck to send it. But what do they call the fractions of a euro? Is it cent? Pence? It's cents. Okay.
Yours?
Chat room's telling me it's cents.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Right.
Shows you how much sense we have around here. None.
Oh, well, he was just over there not too long ago, so he should know. All right, let's move along.
Anyway, we have a couple of questions for you. One question, anyway, to start you out. This came across, I don't know where I saw this a few days ago, but I want to know, what is your first internet memory? Now, many of us are old enough to have been around at least as long as the public internet has been around, which was like 93, 94, when it went from being just government and academic places. So, how about you, Craig? What was the first internet memory you have?
Well, besides the...
Not just the web.
Experience of...
The internet itself.
Wait a minute. No, besides... Listen, just besides the fact of the fiasco of getting on, which is a little problematic a little bit at first because dial-up was still kind of new, I would say the first big memory I have is when... more of an aha moment is when I stumbled upon IRC... And I was chatting with some guy that said he was in the Mediterranean. And I thought that was awesome.
And here we are using IRC for our chat room every week.
Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Some protocols stand the test of time.
Was it 16 years now? Yeah. But I just remember going, wow, that is so cool. And there was people from all over. You know, it was just kind of neat.
I recall, this goes back to 1986. It was dial-up at the time. I was still working at the Computerland store, and Scott Reynolds told me about it, and we had an IBM AT, which was a 286 machine, running IBM PC Xenix. And we were able to tie that into somebody's machine, that tied into somebody else's machine, whatever it was, and get email from around the world. But we had to call up to do kind of like a batch download. It wasn't a constant connection like we have today. So dial up, yeah. And it would say, hey, is there anything for me, and do I have anything to deliver for you? Email and news groups. When we started getting the news groups, I went, now that's cool, because it was kind of like a worldwide forum.
Look at all this porn.
If anybody doesn't know what Usenet is, and I know many of you do, but it was a way to categorize and subcategorize different types of articles. So you'd use some sort of client to post and read these articles.
Yeah, you get a nice hierarchy to your stuff.
Yeah, it was basically a worldwide forum. You post, you get some replies.
I always told people it was like public email. You know, you just kind of post it and like an email.
Yep.
But it just, everybody can read it. So, I remember being on some BBSs and there was probably some internet functionality there. I was just either didn't realize it or whatever, so it's kind of was missed on me until the 94, 95 era.
The one that Scott and I wrote had that capability. We could not only use the public Usenet news groups, but we created a few private ones to go between the various three or four sites that were using our software as well, which was kind of fun because you kind of had this local feel of people that are or used to be based in Marquette, Michigan. So it was kind of fun, you know, keep that local feel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my BBS would have totally had that functionality if I didn't run out of memory on my Commodore 64.
Actually, the first BBS I ever called was based on a Commodore 64. Yeah, I was running off of three.
Was based on it?
Yeah, the guy was running it off of Commodore 64. I think he had three floppy drives, and it was all the basic software that he wrote.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. The whole thing I wrote was in BASIC. And I got to where it's funny because I got to where to make it work, I did run out of memory. And I started having to kind of cache stuff to the floppy. And I didn't realize kind of what I was doing, but I was like, oh, I was actually doing some sort of caching, you know, by having to read stuff from files and then execute that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I was trying to be slick with it, and I should have had it in machine code or something.
And Calf is telling us if we were on Usenet today, we'd be on alt.geek.technorama.
Yes!
I would prefer to be on a rec group myself. Of course, this show is generally a rec, whether you want it to be or not.
Hey, I did tell a joke. Okay, we had some kids over tonight, right? And they were all telling, you know, silly kid jokes. And I said, what do you call a nervous dinosaur? A nervous Rex. I'm sorry, that kind of reminded me of that when you said that.
This is when I miss having the soundboard with the rim shot.
Yeah. You should have it back one day, right?
Yeah. I'm sure I could hook it up to Winamp if I really tried, if I thought it was worth anything.
Yeah, right. Oh. Well, you can just do it in post.
So how was Create South last weekend, Craig?
Well, Create South was great. I took off Friday. It was on actually on the Saturday of the night. I took off Friday and went down early, and they had a pre-party. So we went to that and met up with some people. I saw some new faces. It was really good. Then the whole thing started on Saturday, and there we had talks from, there was a guy doing home brewing, doing that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We had even some knitting. I did a talk on photography hacks and WordPress. Now, let me tell you, at the beginning of the whole thing, I walk in about 10 o'clock, Dave Slusher's up there kind of prep talking everybody. He says, all right, so I'm going to run through the talks, and everybody can kind of raise their hands how many who's going to go to each talk. And he mentioned my photo hacks, and a bunch of hands went up. And I was like, wow. I got nervous because I was like, I hope I have some good content in this talk, you know, to keep them glued. And then I did a talk on WordPress, backup and security.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people raised their hands for that, too. And I thought, wow, I'm nervous, you know. But I worked hard on the slides, and turned out pretty good. The photography hacks one was really popular. Especially when everybody was talking about the first hack I had in there, I should have put it at the end, was the string tripod. Have you ever seen those?
No. Give me a visual on that.
I'll give you a quick overview. So you take a bolt, I think it's a quarter inch screw. You can get them from, you know, Home Depot or whatever, and it fits right into the tripod slot, right? Well, if you get one that's like an eyelet, so you have a place to tie a string to it, and you tie a loop of string about from about eye level to the floor. So what you do is you put the string on there, you put the bolt in, you put your feet in the loop of the string, and you pull up, and you have a little tension, and it steadies your camera.
Oh,
so okay. You can actually put this in your pocket, and without actually carrying a tripod around, you can get a better shot in lower light.
Is that a tripod in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me?
Wouldn't you like to know? But that was pretty good. And then other people had a few aha moments. Oh, well, that's pretty simple. I could do that. So that went really well. My other talk, the WordPress one, went good as well. Most of the people were self-hosted WordPress users, which is what most of the security tweaks were geared towards. Because, you know, with .com, automatic kind of handles all that stuff, you know, WordPress.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I showed him how to back up by using the tools export, and that's all you can really do. So, but they were all responsive and asking questions. So I felt like I did my job. And of course, there was an after party afterwards. That's where I met Jared with the weather, which is great. He was really good. So I had a great time. It was a total win. I sat with people I was not familiar with, you know, trying to introduce myself to new people, new faces, and it was well worth it.
Sounds like a good time. Good turnout.
Yeah. They had, 125 people or so. So, yeah, it was pretty good. So, yeah, plan on it next April. They try to plan it as far away from Easter as they can, but they try to keep it in April because it's not tourist season. So the places are cheap to get in. Traffic's not bad to get in and out. So it's a win-win. So, and the barbecue was awesome.
Excellent.
Purveyors of pork. Go check out the website.
Absolutely. Yeah, we know Slusher and his ribs and barbecue stuff from like the first podcast expo back in 05.
You know, that's right. Actually, he doesn't really do anything with the barbecue, but it is kind of ironic.
He knows where to get the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, again, Purveyors of Pork, they provided. Andre is one of the organizers of Great South, and there was a $10 charge, and some of that was to cover a little bit of the food cost and to kind of keep track of. I didn't realize this. This is a good idea. They charged the 10 bucks to kind of keep track of how many people actually came. Because before, there was no charge, so everybody's kind of coming and going as they please.
Sure.
So it's easy to keep attendance, plus it helps offset some of the food costs. And 10 bucks is peanuts for the kind of content and, you know, elbow rubbing you're doing with some other people.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes. Absolutely. And I gave away almost my whole box of books, which was, I probably should have sold some, but I get, actually, the first edition of WordPress, I was like, you know, I don't need all these books. I still had a whole box full.
So you still had some of the originals?
Yes, I never had an opportunity to give them away.
Get rid of those.
I kept one for myself, and I put them out there with a note. Previous edition, free, and they were gone. And then I gave three of the newer books to Create South so they can give away, mm-hmm. which they did. And then I gave a couple of one away during my talk. No, at my talk, there was only about four or five people that were left towards the end. So three of them wanted books. And I said, well, I got two. And I said, well, you have to either play rock, paper, scissors with me or something else. We got to figure out a way to. And I ended up, I had a third one. So I gave them all out. I just said, here, take them and, you know, have fun, blog. So cool. I got, I think one or two of our new books left. So.
Well, I finally got to sign PC Herring's Podcasting for Dummies. He picked it up about a year ago. And T and Evo were at Balticon last year, so they signed it.
Oh, so he's got one of the copies of Everybody Was In.
Yeah, he's got the trifecta.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait. I haven't signed it. And I wrote the important part.
That would
part.
Be what, a quadfecta? Yeah. Quadriplegic? I don't know what you call it.
He's got to get my signature now because I'm in the book too.
Well, find a way to get to Chicago, man.
I got to go and he's got to come to me.
WorldCon next year, 2012, Labor Day weekend.
You want to go to WorldCon?
We're doing WorldCon in Chicago instead of DragonCon next year.
Okay.
Surprise. I think we've talked about it before.
I know, but I got to give up my sweet gig is in the podcasting room at DragonCon.
We'll see. We've got 18 months to play until then.
Yeah.
That takes us to the end of the network show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call the listener line 206-222-2428. It's 206-222-CHAT. We want to know what your first internet memory was. Was it dial-up? Was it internet? Were you over in in-laws? Were you out of college?
Were you born?
Were you part of the original ARPANET back in 1970 at Bell Labs? You tell us.
Were you
us.
Working with Al Gore when it happened?
Do you know Brian Kernighan and Dennis Ritchie on a first name basis?
Yeah.
Whatever. Call us. Write us technorama@chuckchat.com or put Chuck Chat in your Skype and leave a message on our Skype answering machine. We'd love to
put
hear from you.
Put that in your Skype and smoke it.
Oh, hey, I like that. Yeah,
that's what I'm here for, man.
That's cool. Special thanks to Mad Marv for providing the blog content during the week. And lots of other people have been sending in contributions. We greatly appreciate that. Some of them will be mentioned in the regular show on Wednesday. Thank you to Ustream, who keeps our modest live stream going on Sunday nights and stores the stuff all up. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. They do an awesome job of providing us the chat room. You can get there at chuckchat.com/technorama Sunday nights. If you happen to be around, about 9 p.m., Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. We always have a live stream going, live chat room. People in there are a lot of friendly, as you've already discovered from that. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Come, tell a friend about Technorama, and until next time, give me a binary high five.
101, guys. Woohoo!
Hey, don't don't understand what's going on here.
Just use your imagination.
Yes, that's right.